Within the app.
Okay. Hello?
Yep.
Hey, how are you today? Now I can record it.
Good. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, it was a lot going on. All right, so welcome to the Formally Educated Podcast. How are you today? Well, let me introduce you. Today I have a very, I want to say, she's intriguing to me. She's an event planner, she's a poet, she does it all. A very beautiful woman, such a bright spirit.
Thank you.
It's Black and Nicole. How are you?
So I'm doing well. I'm a little stuffed. I did the traditional thing of eating until I was sleepy. I took a nap, but I'm good. I feel really, really good today. So, how are you?
I'm good. Happy Turkey Day to you. I'm aggravated my family enough. That's what I do. I'm a family aggravator.
Oh, my gosh. What are you doing to the fam?
Oh, we had, like, family dinner, and I'm the, like, real honest one. So, like, I act like outlandish, but I'm not outspoken with you. They hate me. But it's all fun. It's all fun. Get the truth out. I'm one of those people that need
you to like pushing buttons.
Yeah, pushing buttons. That's what I do. But they love me because they know how I am. They know it's all for love. Like, I'm tired of it. Like,
yeah.
We'll be family. We'll be holding it.
Yeah. It's a blessing to have family, you know?
Yes, it is. Very much so. Because I just, like, recently, got, like, you know, back in contact and cool with, you know, my family. They've been, like, a little issue over the years, but it's cool to have them. Like,
oh, that's nice. You guys got over those little hurdles and you're back together again. That's what's up.
They had to accept me for being me.
That's right. What else is family for? You always going to have those risks, you know, but
right. The
important part is reconnecting. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you. Now, for those that are there, I know they're hearing right now, right? But those who don't know who you are, because I have a very big Philly fan base. So for people who don't know who you are, you want to let them know who you are and a little bit about what you do.
Absolutely. So I do live here in Pittsburgh, but I'm actually a San Diego, California native. I moved to Pittsburgh. I was actually on a mission, and my mission was to inspire. So, like, when I was a little girl, okay, I used to write, I danced, I performed, I modeled. I even got on the stage, and I acted a little bit. So it was, like, the happiest time. So that pretty much trickled into my lifestyle now. But I want to support other artists and help them create. You know, and like sort of like create a welcoming environment for those people.
Okay. So you do a little bit of like the event planning, and I see because I checked your page, poetryandme.org, and I know you do the poetry. You do a lot. Like I was so intrigued. I was like amazed by the page.
Yeah.
It was so much. I'm like, she does so. So how did you get into like the event planning and things like that?
So I would go to events, you know, and I would get up on stage and I would perform. And I love the feeling, I love the vibe of just being at open mics and being with people that, you know, are creative. So what I did was I was like, you know what, I'm at a place financially where I can create these events on my own and I can create, you know, cause I sort of felt like I needed to break up the cliques and to bring everyone together. I don't know what it's like in Philly, but here to me, it seems cliquey and there's nothing wrong with that, but, I'm the type of person, I want everybody to come together, especially in these times. If you're, you know, you're a brown person living in the type of environment that we're living in right now, I feel like we should be uniting more than separating. So that's my mission, is to bring people together, all different, you know, upbringings, and just bring people together and make it so that they're comfortable, because the thing with artists is that they're sensitive about their work. They're sensitive mm-hmm. about the time that they put into their projects. And right. a lot of times the outside world, if they don't understand it, they will down it. And right. even from artist to artist, you can say the wrong thing and then that artist gets to like giving up. So it's just a matter of, you know, supporting those who are extremely talented, but won't necessarily come out and share their gifts with the world. So that's what I love doing is, you know, motivating that poet. Hey, you know what? You got it. You got it all. Like, get out there and do your thing. Don't be afraid because what you have to say might change somebody's life. So don't right. be afraid to do it, you know. So that's my motivation.
Yeah, you're like a transformational speaker and an event planner. That's good to have people that have yeah. like a passion in what they're doing. That's an awesome thing. I always like, you know, they say like-minded people, they always, you know, you're either magnetic or reflective. So I always, yes. I'm magnetic to people that are passionate about what they do, especially Absolutely. With the poetry thing. And I was talking a lot with a lot of people about, because I've only been out here for about a week in Pittsburgh. So I think that was about the second day I was out here, or the second or third day. And I caught it about 2 hours before. And I thought it was like, I was like, okay, I'll just go to, about, you know, me thinking, oh, you know, I have all this experience because I'm in the entertainment, I used to rap and all that. So,
right.
Okay. And when I went in there and I heard the other talent, I said, hold on, wait, everybody's getting ahead. Like, this is awesome. Like, usually when you go, it's like, all right, let me see if it's like, you know, you kind of pick out the best. I didn't hear anybody bad that went up on stage. I said, oh, this is an awesome.
Yes. Circle. And let me just say this. When you got up on the stage and you did your thing, you're talented, right? That's obvious. But you have a certain vibe about you that literally pulled a lot of us in. Like, everyone was intrigued. I think those, you know, you have business cards on the table. And by the end of the night, all of your business cards were gone. So you really did pull in. The audience with your personality, your talents, and I was just so happy to meet you. That was like
Thank you.
To happen.
Right. Because I'm like, I'm good for hosting now because I don't care to do that. I just show my talent to let people know like I can do it or that's my passion. I just don't care to be in front of the screen anymore. But
yes.
It's awesome. I love the host. Like, that was so awesome. I said, oh, I hope she has another one to ask me to host, but I haven't said anything.
Oh yes, trust and believe. Yeah. I have your name on my whiteboard. Yeah. You are next in line.
And so you know, I pick with people a little bit in the crowd, make them laugh.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
It's good
yes.
to be a little charmer. That's what my aunts used to call me as a kid, a charmer. So
right. But that's a blessing though to be able to do what you do and make people feel the way you make them feel. I mean, it's not something anybody off the street can do. You know what I mean? Right. Like that's a true gift. So I'm definitely honored to be in your presence.
Thank you. Likewise. Now as far as the event planner, how long have you been doing that? Like,
so I want to say my very first event was about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
But I also write. I'm an author. I'm a published author. So I have tons of, you know, poems that I've written and published. I've been published since 2013. I'm actually working on an audiobook because I love recording my art and but within that project I have other authors who will be recording with me as well. So it'll be like a group project.
Wow.
I love that. Yeah, and I'm like so excited about it because the people that I work with and that I have come to my events and features and things like that, they're always willing to support. So I like to come full circle with it, you know.
Right.
But as far as the event planning, like I have so many events that I want to do, like, right now. But with Corona being, like, at the spike right now, it's so difficult. But one of the things that I recently did, which was, well, not recently, but it was, like, back in March, we did Go Live Open Mic, where we did all of our open mics online. Now, that was incredible.
Right.
Every week we had artists that were participating in this, and it was definitely an uplifting type of thing that we were doing, because so many people were scared about Corona. They were scared to leave their homes. Yeah. There were a lot of spirits that were messed up. So with the Go Live Open Mic, we were able to, you know, enhance people's spirits and make them feel better. And, you know, so as far as the event planning, like, I do online, I do, I did a fashion show not too long ago, and that was amazing. We mixed poetry and fashion together. Can you imagine that? Like, it was just, it was off the hook.
That's creative. That's real creative. Yeah. I'm picturing it in my head now. Yeah, because I have an idea once the quarantine breaks. It's an idea and event that I will talk about off air, but for an event that I think would be pretty good for Valentine's Day. We need Mike Smalls. Tell him I will fight him if you don't come. That's your character.
Yeah, he's the Valentine's Day guy, let me just say.
He is awesome with the poetry. Like, he's awesome. I spoke to him. I spoke with him because he couldn't make the interview I had with him. I know he went around. He's busy. I run around too. So he's supposed to come. He's supposed to attend the poetry slam, the virtual poetry slam.
Oh, good. Yeah, he's going to get you a lot of views. That man is talented. I've never seen anybody do poetry the way he does. So.
He's really like, I said, oh, he's the poetry jam ready. I said, oh, because I think, like, when I did my little chat, so I'm outside, I'm talking. And he was like, my favorite. I said, who's he talking to? Let me go ahead and see this guy. We're going to say my favorite. Like, who do you think this is? He went on stage. I was in awe. I said,
And you to have the talent that you have to be impressed by somebody like that, you know he's good, though.
He's awesome. I had to salute him when he came and sit down. When he went over to sit down, I had to salute him. I said, yo, you are, like, you're very talented. Very talented. I said, he didn't show me up like this. Smiling and all that. Got my cousin looking. Hey, give me a car. So I dig that. So he's the cash cow. I like him. He's the cash cow. He's good.
Yes.
So
how
did you make up with your team? How did you build that one?
Well, you know how, like you're a host. So there's a certain type of energy that a person can exude when they're doing their art. Some people can fake who they are when they're rapping, singing, doing poetry or whatever. But I'm like a really good judge of character, and I pick up on who's really here, like here, and who's not. And so a lot of the people that I work with are just, they're amazing people, not just on stage, but they are amazing people. They have, you know, really, really impactful stories to tell. And within those stories, you sort of see the flower that they're becoming or that they've already become. And despite, like, the hurt, the pain, whatever they went through, whatever could have made them bitter, they didn't let it make them bitter. Instead, they exude love, and they, you know, they're supportive, and, you know, so those are the types of people that over the years that I've watched, and they've inspired me. So a lot of people that I deal with, I've met at shows. that's like my artistic family, to where, you know, I've met them at shows, and a couple people I've worked with. So I don't exclude people, but when it comes to being like a part of my team and things like that, I'm very selective and I'm very careful, because I clue them in on a lot of information that I wouldn't necessarily give anybody else. So I think when it comes to developing a team, you just have to be you have to be selective, and you know, you have to be careful as to who you let in there. I mean, you know, and sometimes, just like with Jesus and the one that betrayed him, you know, sometimes they're within your circle, but you know, even if that happens, I'm okay with it.
You have to be selective, right? It's like using discernment.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And nothing beats a woman's intuition. So a woman's like, no, you listen to that.
We're good at that.
Right. The goddess rules. You know what I mean? We get a lot of men, they don't like to admit that, but, you know, the goddess rules.
We're good at that. And, you know, and I love giving people chances, and, you know, I'm very patient.
That's what I need to learn.
I operate in love more than anything else, though, definitely.
That's good. That's awesome, because I always say, I operate in love, too. It's a tough love. I like to touch love. I do. It's so funny to me. You know, you got guys, people come in different shapes and sizes. You know, you think it's coming in all pleasant times, but it's like, no, you're going to send that one that's going to test your spirit to see if you're spiritual or if you're just full of it. So,
yes,
and I'm very, very, very spiritual. Like, I'm very, so I challenge people all the time.
Oh, geez, I can only imagine those conversations.
Yeah. Oh, man, like I always had those intellectual debates.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's like, it goes from, let's go back to the Roman Empire, and this, that, and third, and where did that, we go that deep. It's all, and we're all, for like, all my friends are like that. Like, I'll go back to Philly. And we get together, and we have a little party. We may drink a little, and somebody might say something that it sparks a conversation. If someone's one friend's a Hebrew Israelite, the other one's a Muslim. We got two Christians.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Those conversations are deep.
It never ends. All the girlfriends get up and go to the back. They get up and they go to the back, and they say, I can't, not with the back.
Yeah.
And we talk politics, and we just get deep. Like, we are such conspiracy theorists. It's fun to me, though.
But you know what, though? It's amazing that you're able to do that, because a lot of people only deal with people that have the same exact views. You know what I'm saying?
If you
have friends that have different views, and you're still able to, you know, come together, have a conversation, then at the end of that conversation, no matter how heated it got, you can still come back and be like, hey, yo, let's go get something to eat.
Yeah, we
like
still
that.
Have a time, that's just good.
Right.
That's like, just because you like yellow and I like orange, are we supposed to not be around each other?
Exactly.
No, I just won't do nothing yellow. We have to find out what color yellow and orange makes, and we'll do that. They got to work for the both of us.
Right. Because a lot of people can't do that. They cannot disagree. It's either, you know, you agree with me or we can't be friends. So I respect that.
It takes a lot of character to do that, though. A lot of character.
Yeah.
Because I just like messing with people. So I'm my mom told me I should have went to school for psychology.
You should have.
I don't think I should, because you teach me too much. I'm one of those, it get dangerous, because the first time I read the 48 Laws of Power, I said, ooh, be close. You don't teach nobody like that, not me. Don't teach me this.
He's
my favorite author. He's very, very, very awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of books, you say you have an audio book. Do you have any, any other projects that you have out?
I have the audio book. I have a couple, I wanted to do a book of quotes. I don't know if you've been on my IG, but I was like, for a hot minute, like just putting out quotes every single day. You know, some would make people think, others would make people mad, and then sometimes they just didn't make no sense to anybody other than me. but it, you know, it was special to me because, writing is like a, it's definitely an escapade. You know, you can escape any and everything that's going on around you. Because a lot of people, you know, they come to me like, oh my gosh, you're so positive. What are you doing? You're going through this. We're going through that. Like, how are you staying so positive? It's because I go within. Like, I've definitely been able to master the ability to find peace within. And I think that is one of the biggest, accomplishments of my adulthood life. Like, nobody gives me peace the way I give myself peace. And it's amazing because writing has done that for me. You know, it's therapeutic, and it's really nice too. And it's like an affirmation or a confirmation that it means something when other people can read something that I've written and then go, girl, that is beautiful. I felt every single word or something that to that degree, you know, it just feels so good.
To get that recognition back, to know that you're not alone and not the only one going through these issues.
Yes. It's so important. So important. But, as far as like, books, so my one book that I wrote, it's Roses from Stones, and it's my baby, you know, it's still floating out there. I felt really good because, I work with a lot of teachers, and I had teachers buying my work, like they were buying my book and then emailing me talking about, oh my gosh, I didn't know that you were so good. And, you know, so that sort of thing made me feel good. I mean, I didn't write the book for money. I wrote it more so to tell my story. And even though the stories and poems and, you know, and short stories and things of that such, it was a huge accomplishment. And as far as other projects, there's a really big project that I'm working on. It's gonna require a lot of help though. I won't put it out there just yet because I have to write up the business plan for it, but I want you to stay tuned so that you can help me develop and, you know, so that we can work together.
Yeah, I got you. I definitely do. So we had some books, we had event planning. So what's the whole goal for it? Like, what are you trying to do now? What's the whole goal? Like, what's your mission? Tell the people.
So my mission is just to heal, or to help heal others.
In a nutshell, right?
in a nutshell, because I feel a lot of our people are, we're suffering from post-traumatic slave disorder, and I have this discussion a lot. I've also read about it. You know, we're suffering, and there's no push for help anywhere. And I think that our Black families are hurting badly. And even though, you know, you hear a lot of people, I'm doing good, I'm up, this is my year, this is that, but there's just so much going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, and people are scared to talk about or go get help for. So my mission is to heal. I want to build something grand to where people feel like they can, you know, they can go on and they can be who they are, where they are, and not be judged for it.
Right.
I feel a lot of people, you know, they put on a cover up because they feel like they're being judged. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I take that. So I definitely understand that. We have like, oh yes, we need more like therapy. Because it's so taboo.
Yes.
It's so taboo in the urban area. I know, like, because I can see. I go the other way with getting through to people because I get frustrated because I used to be, like, heavy into the Pan-Africanism, Egypt, Tyler, that nation. So I used to be in Philly beating my feet, and it's like they don't want to hit. So I go about it another way. So I get under their skin. Mm. And it's a method to my madness. So the average person, that's why I tell people, you got to get to know me. Because, I think different. The whole thing is the a-hole. That's me. I'm just the person that gets under your skin. I'm the cultural aggravator. That's what they call me. But once you come back with your response, then we can build dialogue because I won't ignore it. I'll read your comment, and then we'll build dialogue from there because I need you to understand where I'm coming from. Because a lot of times I see in the media and everything, it's a lot of crybaby too much. I can't. And I am from the hood of Philly, like the hood. Made it, had money, lost it, been through it. I've been depressed. Everything. I'm talking about having two cars or having to live out of one. So I've been through the nonsense. And then when you lose the cars, oh, my God, where am I staying at? So I've been through all of it. And through, like, I feel like my downtime was my study time. Because when I fell, I said, I'm not going back to the streets. And it was the hardest thing in the world. But I learned a lot, a lot. I'm talking about the track was the library for me. That was what it was because I made it. I learned that I taught myself real estate. I taught myself how to wholesale houses, and I advanced. And, like, it's like it's no excuse. So when I go through, and I feel like they say, well, everybody's not you, so you're telling me I'm stronger than you. So if I walk around in my confidence, you call me cocky, but I'm like, no, I see you. And y'all don't, you know what I'm saying? Wow. So it's like when you try to build with these type of people, some people just want to be sick. So I try to, I pull at that emotion sometimes. Like, stop crying. And, like, the biggest thing for me, I tell people, like, I go, like, I'm an aggravator. So I say, yeah, I voted for Trump. Like, no, and I didn't. But I just, you know, I don't believe in voting at all, personally. But I told you I voted for Trump. They said, why? And we'll get into a whole debate. And then we'll build dialogue from there. They leave and be like, I don't like him, but he's smart. He's smart, but I don't like him. And they'll end up loving me. And then you gotta respect it. And they'll start to think. You know what I mean? Like, I go, like, I grew up, my dad's side of the family grew up. It was all in the church and all that. So as I got older, I started studying different religions. I'm like, I had questions and all that. So as I got older, they understood who I was, but I had Muslim friends growing up in the streets. You know, everybody Muslim for some reason. So every time I went to the church or the church people, they say, hey, how you doing? I say, salam alaikum. So they'll be, like, laughing. So when I get to the Muslims, I say, yeah, Jesus saves.
Oh,
when I get to the
my.
Buddhist, when I get to the Buddhist, I say, Ashe. When I get to the Buddhist, I say, Namaste. And we'll debate. And I just pick. I pick and I pick. And after we get to the end of it, they understand. And they have a different way of thinking. There's a broader way of thinking. It's like, ooh. Because now they have to go research what they've been. Because a lot of people live what they're taught, not what they learn. So now they have to go research what they were taught. And then they learn more. So I'm like, it's a method to my madness. Because I think it's too much of the,
So would you say, so you're not religious, you're more spiritual.
Yes, yes. Maybe. But I do follow the Bible. I wouldn't say I'm Christian, but I'm spiritual. But I do read that. Because I have I believe in the lost books and all that other cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you read in the book of Barnabas and Maccabees. So everything that I learned is just a expansion on, like, what the Bible is. I mean, you read the Bible from a physical place, you think it's telling you to stop a lot of things when
absolutely. That's where people get it twisted all the time.
Because it's not the Bible, it's how it's taught. You ever watched the Book of Eli?
I did.
He was blind, which means walk by faith, not by sight. Mm-hmm. But the same book, the whole book was for him to get it from one end to the next. If the same, the white guy, if he would have got that same book, he would have took the same, he would have took the same book and utilized it for evil. And the words wouldn't have changed, it's just the perception you put behind it.
See, so that's what it is right there. That's what it is.
So you gotta be careful, because you know the devil was an angel too, right?
Satan was an angel. You know, the Bible better than most of us Christians. You know, people that actually follow the Bible every day, he knows it. Yeah. He knows it. And he knows, you know, weaknesses. We're not difficult to figure out, basically. Mm-mm. We're not difficult at all. But.
Yeah. Well, especially when you, when you know what the devil knows. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, ooh.
Yeah.
And it's easier for you. It's harder for you to get tricked because you can mirror him. In a sense, not in the evil sense, you know, like the mirror effect infuriates the enemy. Mm. So when you can infuriate the, like if somebody comes off as an asshole or whatever like that, you can come off sarcastic in a way. Mirror it, not the same way, but like be a little, you know,
I
am one of them.
People do not like that. People do not like it. He don't like it. People do not like that.
Right. So you tell them, don't show it to me, because I'm only a mirror reflection of what you show me. I can be a sweetheart, but I can be, it's about balance.
See, you know what, though? It takes me a minute. Of course, as a child, you know, you don't have much control. You don't know how to, you know, your motor skills and all of that is still catching up to the full capacity or whatever. So, you know, as a child, as a teenager, you know, my mouth was really slick. It was bad. And I knew how to I could dish it when people was dishing it to me. I just knew. But I won't say I've become numb, but I've been able to, you know, I can control myself better. I can control my tongue, and it takes me a minute before I actually dish something out. Like I'm gonna look at you funny, let you do your thing, and then try to understand where you're coming from, and just let that sit in my spirit. And then if you keep poking me, then it's like, oh, she's crazy. I give people enough rope to hang themselves with, basically.
Right. Yeshua wasn't Saul. He even had hitters around him. You know, they changed Paul's name to Saul because over in the other town, he was a hitter. So you had to bring him over and change his name, right? He had some hitters with him. He did, like, he knew.
Did you just say he was a hitter?
Hey, I guess. Yeah, he was like, yeah, Paul was a hitter.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He
I love that.
All right, so when his name was Paul, what was he doing over there in that other town? He wasn't tearing stuff up?
He did, right. And I know,
Jesus
but
said,
you
on.
Called him a hitter.
He was a hitter. He was just knocking everything down. And with Jesus, he got into that little situation. Who are you talking to? Cut boy hero. Jesus had to catch you. Hold on, wait.
Yes,
hold
he
on.
Sure did.
Put his back on. He wasn't playing about his man. He wasn't playing about it. So there was some balance, you know what I mean? So he had the fishermen. Right. They wasn't fishermen for nothing. He took the same shoes come from. Like they
hilarious.
Right. I always put it in, that's how I get it across to people. I use colloquialism to like get people to understand it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then they'll go back and read it. It's like, if you look at, I tell people, the Samson and Delilah story, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the streets, you know, God can't get to you, you're going to send the girl out. Once you send the girl out, then that's the one that sets you up. That's Delilah.
Wow.
Delilah was evil to Samson, but she was loyal to the king. So it depends on what side of the fence you're going to play Delilah. Which one you going to do? You know what I mean? So they oh, okay, all right, that's it. Then they go and try to read the Bible. Yo, man, this story. I had to learn it that way.
Yeah. I love that. So you like to read a lot. That's pretty cool. I'm reading a couple books right now. I like philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really into philosophy, you know, Plato, Socrates, metaphysics, all of that. Mm-hmm. But so, one of the things that really like just sat in my spirit was like the theory of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, the spirit and how it moves and the appetite and things of that nature. It's like extremely intriguing to me. But also, I just finished the book.
Okay, are you familiar with Ben Carson, with the fractal cycle and things of that nature?
No, I haven't. You have to send that to me.
Okay. Do you read, like, Eckhart Tolle?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, Dalai Lama. It's a lot of those little spiritual, but it's the metaphysics of, like quantum physics and things like that. I have to send you some stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, send me some stuff. Like, I'm always open to, you know,
alchemy,
more knowledge. Yeah.
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 You are, we'll sit and talk. You'll be a whole different person in a year. You're like, whoa.
Oh, God.
it's about time,
because you know what? I ain't got that much more time left on this earth.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Not unless we get included in the rest of it, and that is we do.
Right? Like, it's just, but look, Royale, like, it's just too much. Like, it's too much going on. Like,
I tell them I'm ready all the time, too. I'll be like, listen, once I reach the next dimension, you know,
right,
I don't have to worry about
right. And don't you feel like an old man sometimes, all the things that you've seen, all the things that you've experienced?
I'm 34, and I feel like, I still feel in my spirit like I'm 25, but like,
right?
The way I be talking to people, they look at me like I'm a monk or something, like I'm... And I'm like, no, I'm just this is regular canvas. And then a lot of things I look at, I guess because I experienced a lot as a young kid, I kind of grew out of it real early, like real early.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just feel like I'm young, but I feel like, you know, like I could easily be like 60-something years old because my way of thinking is not similar to the women, you know, most women that are my age, because a lot of people tell me, oh, you're only such and such, and I ain't gonna say my age on here, but you're only such and such. Wow, like I thought you were older, because it seemed like you got everything together and da da da. No, not that I don't have everything together. It's just the way I think is different than you know.
It's not what you have, it's how you carry it. You know, sometimes some people don't carry it the right way. I had to learn how to carry it early. Mm-hmm. So some people they see it as like you're flawless, but no, you got stuff. You know how to carry it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. They say you have to be in the world, not of it. When you're not of the world, you have a peculiar kind. So we look weird to everybody else. But I look up the etymology of the word weird, and weird just means to be in control of your destiny.
Whoa! Preach, okay?
I'll be a weirdo. Good.
Such a weirdo. I love it. I don't care.
Yeah. We gonna talk. I'm gonna break down etymology of words. We gonna change your whole vocabulary. Like, I don't.
Hey, bring it. Bring it.
When I greet you, what do I say? Empress.
Empress. Yes,
Empress,
I love it.
Or a goddess. I'm never saying queen because if you look at the etymology of the word queen. When you look it up, it's not Q-U-E-E-N, it's Q-U-E-A-N. And when you see that word, the definition means hussy female prostitute.
Stop it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Send it.
I will never call you a queen. Now, if you act like a queen, I treat you like a queen. But if you show me this, you're an empress or goddess.
So you got to send that to me like tonight. Like I'm sharing that with a few people.
Yeah.
Oh,
as a matter of fact, I'll tag you in the I have a on my girly pleasures page. It's a woman empowerment page, so we let them talk trash and all that on there. They let it out, be man bad.
Okay.
I love it. Cause you know me, I be challenging it. But I have one on there where I talk about how I love the women and all that, and I would never call you queen. And then I have the definition and the etymology where you swipe over. So I'll tag you on that one, don't let you see.
Yeah, tag me, please.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch that we need to know as a culture. Because if you consider yourself a queen all the time, then subconsciously, what are you instilling? A husky female prostitute. And that's why the newer generation is out of whack, man. Yeah. And that's how I look at it, from like goddess or empress. Like, you know, we were the first people. The woman is the, you know. I break a lot of people out of religion and put them on spirituality, especially women, because I think religion kind of breaks the greatness of the woman, because it's so patriarchal. And if you know, before it was patriarchy, they thought that God was a woman, because it catered to the love and nurturing of the earth. It wasn't until religion came into place where they said he, him, man. And even man is two letters short of woman. We're not us without y'all. So they try to make it, you know, like we're supposed to cater to y'all and do what we're supposed to do.
But
because
you want to know something? Let me just throw this in here real quick. I'm actually jealous. Like, I'm not a jealous person when it comes to, you know, some women are jealous of women, right? I'm not jealous in that respect. I am so jealous of the male species.
What?
I'm jealous of y'all. I am so jealous of y'all. But that's a different discussion.
I will talk about that later. You want to know why? Because once I explain how men should be acting, and how you'll be like, I ain't jealous. I've just been misusing my power. Because you have all the, as a woman, feminine energy runs the world. Women run the world. Beyonce wasn't lying when they said we run the world. Girl.
And I get that, but I'm just, I don't know.
Nope,
we don't talk about it.
Because you don't, if you utilize your power right, you'll get everything you want, and you have to work minimum.
It ain't even about that. Like, I know, like, I've been able to, so, at the age of probably 16, I got my first job. Like, I literally bought everything for myself. I didn't rely on my parents. I didn't rely on anybody. So I've been working hard since the age of 16. You know, I've had really good jobs. I was pregnant and going to school, going to campus. I ended up, getting an associate's in business, and then I got pregnant again, and I went back to school and got my bachelor's degree in business. So I pretty much, like, everything that I have, the car that I want, I have the house that I want. I'm good. I'm a hustler, but there are certain things that I sit back and I'm like, you know what? I do not think that women are winning.
What?
We are not.
No.
Like, if y'all would use your power the way God has designed.
It's more women out here winning than men.
But for me, it's not even the materialistic side of things. It's not that. Like, I'm not even talking about that. But it's a different discussion.
The power?
No, we'll talk about it.
All right, we'll talk about it. Because I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Winning. Men are so scared right now. They don't even want to talk to girls no more. And then girls are messing up. Men don't want to be men.
But see, I don't know. Like, I just, you know, women are, Nope. I don't want to be a part of that group.
I'm going to hold the Empress classes in a minute because I had to. I'm really going to do it because my, I have a co-host. It's like my sister. Like, I'm always, I swear I'm a one in 100 million. Like, I'm a guy that's like, I'm all alpha male, but I'm cooler with girls than I am with guys because guys seem to be jealous. I don't like the jealous thing for no reason. I don't know if it was because I was light skinned or whatever, or character. I don't know. I'd be like, this is more my character than my looks. I'd be like, I ain't even that cute. This is, you know, this is who I am. Like, they probably, you know what I mean? And
that's too much.
Yeah, it's like it's too much. So I don't know. So when it's with girls, it's like, it's different because they can take it and it's like, it's not a competition.
Right.
So like with women, I kind of grew up like, I grew up playing sports, boxing, basketball, and all that, but I keep the guys around just to keep me a guy, but for the most part, I'm always cooler with girls. Me and girls always like, you sis.
I love that,
She always calls me and she tells me, she says, yo, you should do like classes or like to teach girls, like, you know how I mean, cause I always give her game on like men. And she's like, you be telling, my cousin be like, you be telling. I'm like, so what? I don't care, I don't watch this show anybody. Cause I I have a group of girls I call my Delilah. So anytime I see a guy that's weak for a woman, guess what? I'm sending Delilah. He's stupid. Because guys just want to spend money. Like, women run like, oh, God. I got to talk to you. Oh, I got to talk to you. Like, you ain't got to... Just the feminine energy. Like, a guy, men are stupid. The average man is stupid. Lord. If I could, because I have respect for women.
I am just not proud of where we are right now. I am not proud of it. Somebody posed a question the other day, and it just makes me sick to my stomach. Just, I'm not proud right now of the young women coming up. I'm just extremely disgusted. Like I don't want my daughter out there associated with the seeds of these women.
Them are just soulless. Yeah, you run around they little dark entities in them. But it's
absolutely soulless. Like the thought, and see, I'm a part of a lot of different groups too. Where, you know, open discussions they're there, like, there's no cap, it's just all unsolicited and just candid, and, you know, and I'm just like, I cannot, like, y'all too much, like, I'm not proud of this group right now. Granted, yes, we do hold a lot of power, you know, and I've noticed that even in my own household. If I'm not happy, nobody's happy. I'm having a bad day that, you know, they feel it and they, you know, they take it on. But if I'm in a good mood and somebody's in a bad mood, I could easily, you know, perk them up or whatever. So I understand the power that we have, but there's something in the air, Royale. It's just
the media.
I don't want to like keep you because I could definitely.
Do we be on her now? So before we get off, because I forgot, I'm thinking this is a regular phone call. So. Before we get off, let people know where they can find you, any future projects, anything, events, anything you have coming up.
So on Facebook, I'm always posting my events there. So there I'm under Blossom Nicole. And also I have my business page, which is Poetry and Me, LLC. I'll put up all my pictures and, you know, from the events, that sort of thing is there. And then on IG, I am poetically underscore writ, WRIT underscore 10, so poetically written. Okay. But also, my, you know, like if someone wants to get ideas on how to start an event, or if they need a host or a DJ, or if they need decorating ideas, I help with those services as well, and they can find me at poetryandme.org. So, okay. And there's a, you know, they can email me, let me know, you know, hey, I need help with this, and I'll be more than willing to reach out. But yeah, I'm definitely looking to help people. And, you know, the sky's the limit. I'm just ready. I put my heart out there, and I'm just ready to help my people.
Right. You know, it's our time. It's how, you know, they say to me, trying to inherit the earth, so we did.
Amen.
So don't ever think it's bad. It's always a chaos. It's order out of chaos. So you let them deal with it. We ascend. But I appreciate you.
Thank you, Royale. This was so much fun. I forgot you were recording.
Yeah, I did too for me. I said, oh my gosh, the whole conversation. This is going to be so awesome. Put it up. So I'm going to be putting this together and putting it up, and I'll hit you in a second.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. That's it, Queen. Empress, not Queen. Empress.
See you later.